Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah Daf Tes Zayin. We are holding on Daf Tes Vavam Beis in the last line of the page on Daf Tes Vavam Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored to commemorate the first yard site of Meir Penstein, Meir Yosef ben Avram Zichrono Levracha, a great lover of Torah, and this shiur by his children and grandchildren, whose yard site is on Tu B'Av, and also a mazel tov to the family on the bris Be'ezras Hashem today of one of his great grandchildren. Also in memory of Harav Avram ben Rav Yitzchak Isaac Zichrono Levracha, whose 15th yard site was on the 11th day of Av. Also for Shalema, for Rivka Bas Tzipora, who began chemo treatment this week. Shishav Rufur Shalema B'soch Shar Chalei Yisrael. Also by Karen and Marky Benson, commemorating the yard site of Karen's grandmother, Esther Weiss, Esther Leah Bas Shmuel. Aleha Shalom's yard site is tomorrow on Shabbos, Tu B'Av. We thank everybody, all of the sponsors, very much for the sponsorship. So we started to discuss yesterday, being mesachich bivla'i kelim. If you have worn out kelim, can you use that? And they're no longer mekabel tuma because they're worn out, can you use them for schach? So we're going to continue that discussion, and we're going to talk about using mats for schach as well. Then the Gemara is going to discuss when you're chotet begadish. The Mishnah had said that if you have a pile of hay and you hollow out an area that's 7 by 7 tefachim and 10 tefachim tall, that's a classic example of ta'aseh v'lo mina asri. But the Gemara is going to discuss whether we can qualify that. What if you had less than a shir echshir sukkah in height, but it was already an ohel? Can you then hollow out to make it a shir echshir sukkah? Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about a partial machitza, and going to have machlokas whether a machitza tuluya, machitza doesn't quite reach the ground, is sort of suspended in midair, whether that is going to be considered a valid machitza. And the Gemara is going to compare the din of mechitza tuluya when it comes to sukkah to the din of mechitza tuluya when it comes to Shabbos. In particular, when you have a mechitza tuluya that runs over a bar that's bein beis chatzeros, it's in between two chatzeros, does that allow the residents of each chatzer to draw from that bar on Shabbos? And then the Gemara is going to tell us a story where they did once rely on using a mechitza tuluya to carry a sefer Torah on Shabbos from one place to the other. So that's going to bring us all the way to the end of the daf. So let's begin. Again, we're at the last line of the page on daf, Tes Vavam Beis. So, Heichit Vad Rabbi Chanan Amar Rebbe. We had closed the shir yesterday by quoting from Rabbi Chanan Amar Rebbe, and we said, oh, just like Rabbi Chanan Amar Rebbe said in some other context, Ba'aruko Ushtei Kra'ayim, Be'Ketzara Ushtei Kra'ayim, that we're talking about a significant portion of the bed, even though it's not an entire bed. So, Hanami, when we said that you're not allowed to be Mesakech, Ba'aruko Samita, maybe he meant a similar significant portion of the bed, but not totally. Totally broken off pieces of the bed. Maybe over here also you meant an aruka ushtei kra'ayim, ktsar ushtei kra'ayim. But the question the Gemara says is, what is this place that we're referring to, where Rabbi Chanan Amar Rebbe in some other context referred to an aruka ushtei kra'ayim, ktsar ushtei kra'ayim, referred to a significant portion of the bed, the long side and two of the legs, or the short side and two of the legs? So ahad etnan, it came up in the following context, that the Mishnah tells us in Meseches Kalim, that mita metames, a mita is mekabel tuma when it's chavila, when all of its parts are put together. But if you pull it apart, if it's broken to pieces, even if it's a ktsaru shtei kara'ayim, it's not mekabel tuma. Umetaheres chavila, and similarly when it comes to being metayer a mita, if the mita became tame, you can't be matbil it, you can't put it in the mikvah when it's put into a bunch of different pieces. You have to have it all together in order to be tovel the mita properly. Divar Rabbi Eliezer, that a mita is only a mita when it's complete. When it's incomplete, then it's not considered to be a real mita. Whereas v'cham omrim mitame sevarim, mitare sevarim, even if the mita is broken up into a bunch of different pieces, into its component parts, each of the parts are ra'i to be mekabel tuma independently, and you don't need that they should all be connected to each other in order to be mekabel tuma. And similarly, when it comes to bringing it to the mikvah, you don't have to attach the whole bed together to be matvil it. You can be matvil it even piece by piece of the mita. That's how Tosos understands this Mishnah. That's what it means. Chavila and Evarim, that's the machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. However, just to point out, Tosus does quote a Tosefta that tells us that the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer is that just like a mita mechuberes, if one of the legs of the mita were to become tame, the entire mita would become tame. So too, if the mita is broken apart into its different pieces and a regal of the mita is attached to one of the boards across the width of the mita, and the regal becomes tame, the tzarakatzer would also become tame. That which is connected to it would also become tame, and the same is true with the tahara. If you'd be matbil the katzer together with the regal, we don't consider the place where they're connected to be a chatzitza, even though the mita is not fully assembled, because they're considered to be a single unit. Whereas the chacham hold that if one of the regalim of the mita becomes tame, that is the only part that's tame, but anything that happens to be connected to it does not become tame together with it. And similarly, when it comes to being metairit, you can't be tovel two connected parts of a mita if the mita is not fully intact, because the place where they are connected would be considered a chatzitza. That's how the Tosefta understands. But let's stick with the way we read it. So says Gemara, Mainihu, which parts of the mita are subject to this machlokas? That Rabbi Eliezer would say they're not mekabel tuma independently, and the Chum would say they are mekabel tuma independently. So Rabbi Chanan, Amar Rabbi, Aruko Shtei Krayim, Ksara Shtei Krayim. That was the original context where Rabbi Chanan, Amar Rabbi said, we're talking about where you have the long portion of the bed attached to two of the legs of the bed, or the short side of the bed attached to two of the legs of the bed. Lemay Chazia, well, wait a second, why would that be Mekabel Tumah? What's it rotwi to use for if it's still missing the other side? You know, you got the long side and two of the legs, but it's still missing the other side. So Lemesmachinu Aguda and Lemesav Alayu Mishta Ashli. That no, you could still use it. You could still push it up against the wall on the missing side and use the wall as a support on the side that it doesn't have. And you could still sit on such a bed and have the ropes that support the mattress or whatever they used as a mattress, you know, still running across from one side to the other. So it could still be mekabel tumas medrus if you sit on such a thing. So it would become tameh. And therefore, even though it's not yet fully intact, the mita is not fully intact, but it could still be mekabel tumah because it's still a usable mita on some level. So gufa. Now we go back to what we said, that Amar Rabbi Yami Bar Tavyumi, Sicha Bevlai Kleilim Psula. All of this started because we started talking about what if instead of using just regular psalas garden of the ekev for schach, you take bla'e kelim, you take worn out kelim. So worn out kelim are no longer mekabel tumah. So you would think if it's gidulim in aretz, right? Linen or whatever else, all these things are gidulim in aretz, and fibers are gidulim in aretz, and they're not mekabel tumah anymore because it's no longer kelim. You would think that it's kosher. So Rabbi Yami Bar Tavyumi said, no, worn out kelim are possible to use for schach. My bla'e kelim, what items are considered bla'e kelim and are therefore in this category that even though they're not royal kabel tumah independently, you're not allowed to use them for schach because they started out as a dovram kabel tumah. It used to be a perfectly viable jacket or whatever, a kli, and now it's worn out, so no one would ever use it anymore, so it's no longer kabel tumah. But since it initiated as something initially, it was something that was kabel tumah, you're not allowed to use it as schach. So what is an example? So I'm Rabbi Matlanios Shein Bam Sholosh Al Sholosh. If you have pieces of cloth, that woven cloth, that come from a larger beged, and they were ra'i to be mekabel tumah when they were part of the larger beged, and now they've been torn off the larger beged, and it's less than 3 by 3 etzba'os. It's such a tiny patch of cloth, it's less than 3 by 3 etzba'os. The Tosos of Masechta Shabbos and Daf Chavava Amud Aleph quotes from Riva, if it was never shalosh al shalosh, then you can use it for schach. Then he quotes from the Rashba, that's dafka if you initially had planned on making it into a beged gadol. But if you never planned on making it into a beged gadol, then it's mekabel tumah even if it's less than 3 etzba'os by 3 etzba'os, because you already fulfilled your machshava in what you planned on having it. But anyway, the example of such a bla'e kelim are things that used to be part of a larger beged, but now they're less than 3 by 3 etzba'os, which is a tiny swath of fabric. To lo chazin, lo laniim, v'lo lashim. ashirim, because no one would have any use for this. Even aniyim would not find a reasonable use for this, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah. Tosos writes over here that even if you are chishiv aleihem l'shtamish b'hem, you have in mind that you want to use it, so still we would say bat l'dayto etzel das kal adam, normal people don't use such items, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah at all. Tosos Maseches Nida and Daf Samach Amud Beis disagrees. Tells the Nida, says, no, we're assuming most people would not use it, and therefore it's not Mekabel Tumah, but if you happen to be among those people who would use it, and you're Chishiv allowed to use it, you have in mind that you choose to use this piece of cloth, then for you it is, in fact, Mekabel Tumah. So Tanya Kavaseh Rabbi Ami Bar Tavyumi. We have a Raya from a Braisa to Rav Ami Bar Tavyumi that you're not allowed to be Mesakech with Shivrei Kelim, even though they're not Ra'oi to be Mekabel Tumah. Machzela Shal Shifa. Let's say you have a mat made out of a certain reed, Vishal Gemi, or a certain type of grass or reed. Shiareha Aval Pishenivchso Mikshura a Mesachin Ba. If it's broken down, it's missing some part of it, and you're only left with Shiareha, with some Shirayim of it, even though it's less than the Shir of Kabbalah Stuma. The normal Shir of Kabbalah Stuma for such mats would be 6 Tvachim by 6 Tvachim. Even though it's less than that, you're not allowed to use it for Schach, because when it was Shalem, it was Mekabel Tumah. It would have been able to be Mekabel Tumah of Mishkav Hazav and Hazav, because it was a mat used for sitting on or lying down on. So now it's no longer Mekabel Tumah, still can't use it for Schach. So that's like Rabbi Ami said, that since when it was Mekabel Tumah, when it was larger, it was Mekabel Tumah. Now it's a piece of that item that was Mekabel Tumah, and it's no longer Mekabel Tumah, still you're not allowed to use it for Schach. The Braisa continues, Machzelas Hakonim, Gedola Mesachin Ba, Ketana in Mesachin Ba. If you have a reed mat, since it's not considered a kli, then it's made for the purpose of a schach, if it's very large, so then you're allowed to use it for schach. But if it's katana, where it's considered a kli, where it looks more like a mat that's used for sitting on or for lying down on, and it doesn't look like this massive mat that you would roll over your sukkah, so then ein misachin, but you're not allowed to use it for schach. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer Omer, afi mekabel stumah vein misachin, but even a very large mat, we assume that it's produced primarily for the purpose of lying down on, and therefore it's mekabel tumah, and therefore it's ein mesachin, but you're not allowed to use it for schach. Period. So that's the end of the discussion of Blai Kalim and the mats that are associated with that. That which used to be Mekabel Tumah, that which may be Mekabel Tumah. Now we go on to what the other line that the Mishnah had said. The Mishnah had said, Achotet Begadish, that if a person takes a pile of hay and he hollows out an area inside that pile that's 7 Tvachim by 7 Tvachim by 10 Tvachim high, that it's not a sukkah. Why is it not a sukkah? So we already learned, because this is on Daf Yubayz, that that's an issue of Ta'aseh Velomina Aswi, that the schach has to be placed on the sukkah. You can't hollow out and then mimela just have schach over the sukkah. That would be a problem of tasa v'lo mina asis. So I'm rafuna lo shanu ela shein sham chal tefach v'meshach shiva. Aval, yei sham chal tefach v'meshach shiva, harez a sukkah. That the only problem of tasa v'lo mina asis is if you didn't already have at least one tefach of height in your 7x7 tefachim of length and width. But if it already started with one tefach of height, you can then hollow out the rest in order to bring it to 10 tefachim of height, and that's not considered tasav lo min asui. And the reason is that once there's one tefach of height, we assume that that's already called schach. Your schach is already being mesakech on something, because one tefach is a reasonable amount of space. That's what we learned back on Daf Yud, that one tefach is enough to create a sense of ohel. That's why in the sugya of sukkah tachas hasukkah, we have three shitos of what the psul is, how big the top sukkah has to be in order to pasul the bottom one. And one of those shitos was only one tefach, because one tefach is enough for it to be considered schach. What's the psul? The psul is you don't have 10 tefach walls. The psul of one tefach high sukkah is a psul in the defanos. It's not a psul in the schach. So only the schach needs to be ta'ase v'lo mina asui. The walls could be mina asui. So when you dig out further, you're only creating walls. You already have schach there. Now Rashi understands that this means that even if close to the ground, you have one tefach of airspace, and then you dig upwards, you hollow out upwards, and to create 10 tefachim of airspace, that would be good as well. That would work, because again, you had one tefach of schach. Says the Ran, no, that can't work, because if it was only one tefach close to the ground, and then you dig upwards, so the whatever's going to be your schach by the time you're finished digging wasn't the schach previously. It only is the schach now that you've moved the whatever was beneath it. The Mishnah must be talking about, or the Gemara rather, Rav Huna must be talking about where you're digging downwards, that you had one tefach of airspace toward the top, and you have your schach, and then you're digging down to make it to make 10 tefachim walls. So how do they defend Rashi? How could Rashi say you dig upwards? So the Ran quotes, the Ran himself quotes, that to defend Rashi, they would say that according to Rashi, when you have one tefach of airspace and then a lot of schach on top of it, all of it is schach, not just the surface that's right adjacent to the tefach of airspace. Even the stuff that's 10 tefachim higher than that is schach. So that was always schach the whole time. Now you're just you're thinning out the schach a little bit, but you're not making a new schach. You're not making a new mechitza on top. You're not making a new canopy rather. So therefore, Rashi says that would still save you from the problem of tase v'lo mina asli. Tanya na miyachi. And the Gemara says we'll bring our brisa that supports this idea. They have to be mechalik between when there is a chalal tefach of space b'shir sukkah 7x7 tefachim and when there isn't, that a chotit begadish lasu sukkah harizeh sukkah. The brisa says that if you hollow out an area inside of a pile of a straw or something, so it is a valid sukkah. Iva nantanan ain't a sukkah, but our Mishnah said explicitly it's not a valid sukkah. So must be that Rav Huna's chiluk is a chiluk. Otherwise, how do you reconcile our Mishnah with the Braisa? So it must be that when can you be chotit begadish? When there's already a tefach of airspace. When can you not be chotit begadish? When there's not yet a tefach of airspace. Some have the same chiluk that Rav Huna said, but they present it as a teretz to a stira. Meaning the way we had it was that Rav Huna presented it, and then we said, oh, and the raya is that otherwise we would have a stira, and Rav Huna could be used to, we don't have a stira once we have Rav Huna. Others have it asked straight up as a question, and then Rav Huna is introduced to be miyashev the stira. That tanana, chotit begadish lasa sukkah, ain't a sukkah. That our Mishnah says it's not a sukkah if you chotit begadish, ay, vatani, arezu sukkah. Some Rav Huna, lo kasha, kan b'sheshem chal tefach meshach shiva, kan b'sheshem chal tefach b'meshach shiva. That it's not a stira at all. It all depends whether there was a chalal tefach in between them. Any nafkamina between the first lashon and the second lashon, just a matter of how it was presented in the Beis HaMedrash. So in the Paras Yosef, in the back of the Gemara, he says, maybe nafkamina according to the Ran that we just mentioned. That maybe according to the Lishna Kama that we said, the din is really derived from Svara. Rav Huna said it misvara. Happened to be, we backed him up by showing that otherwise there would be a stira between the Brisa and the Mishnah. But he really said it misvara. So it could be that if it's misvara, that only milamala lamata would help. That it only is going to help if you dig downward when you already have a tefach of airspace, but not to dig upward, because the schach has to remain where it was, like the Ran had said. But according to the Lishna Basra, that the whole din is not derived misvara. It's only derived mikoach ekasha that we had. So since the Braisa was not mechalik at all, the Braisa didn't say you have to dig downward and not upward. So maybe there's no such chiluk, and it's going to be mutter either way. We just needed a chiluk kolshu between the Mishnah and the Braisa to be miyashiv them. But once you're miyashiv them, you don't have to make any further chilukim in terms of the details. Okay, questionable whether that's true, but that's how the Paras Yosef suggests. Maybe enough kamina between the two lashonos. So now new Mishnah. So says the Mishnah, Mishal shel defanos milamala lamata. Let's say you have walls that start. You lower the walls. You roll them down from the top to the bottom to the point that they don't reach the floor. Im gavah minar shel tefachim psula. If there are more than three tefachim off of the floor, they're pasul. That's what's called the mechitza tuliya, that it doesn't reach the ground, and therefore the Mishnah is telling us it's not a valid mechitza. If it's less than three tefachim from the floor, then it would be valid, because then you'd apply lavud, and whatever's within lavud of the karka is as if it's closed off to the karka. But if the mechitza starts at the ground level and you build it up, then it only needs to be 10 tefachim tall. It does not need to reach the schach. This is the principle of good asik michitza. that as long as you start with the mechitza, you can view the existing mechitza as if it continues to go straight up. And that is not a problem. We've already had the concept of gerasa mechitza. We discussed whether you would apply such a thing by mechitzos she'ena nikaros, right? If you have a mechitza, let's say you're on a rooftop and you put poles on the four corners of the roof and put schach over it, so can you use the walls of the building, right? To say, because you have existing walls there, so maybe mechitza, you would say good asik mechitza. So the concept exists that it's a halacha l'Moshe Misinai, right? This is one of the three halacha l'Moshe Misinais that we had in Davav. Good lavud the Dovan Akuma are right. We said shiru chitzit and mechitzin are halacha l'Moshe Misinai. So we said we went through each category. What about shiurim is halacha l'Moshe Misinai? What about, you know, isn't it all derived from pasuk? Now the pasuk goes in Asmachta. What about chitzitza is halacha l'Moshe Misinai? So we said the fact that a chitzitza exists is daraisa. Even the fact that there's a chitzitza on hair is daraisa. The only thing that's halacha l'Moshe Misinai about chatzitza is the specific rules of rubo, makbid, miyot, eino makbid, all of those details. But when it comes to mechitzin, what about mechitza is halacha l'Moshe Misinai? So good, lavud, dofen akuma. So good is this, good asik mechitza, that if you have a tent havachai mechitza, we view that mechitza as if it continues straight up. It's a legal fiction. It's a halachically imaginary wall. So that's a halacha l'Moshe Misinai, that we can rely on such a thing. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us over here, that as long as it's tent havachai, it's ksheva. Rabbi Yossi Omer, shem shelemin l'mata l'mayla saritvachim, just like you have a din of good asik mechitza, and as long as it's tent havachai off the ground, we view it as if it goes straight up. So too, if you have a ten tefach wall that doesn't reach all the way to the ground, as long as it's ten tefachim of wall, that also is going to be kosher, because just like we said good asik mechitza, we'd also say good achis mechitza. Good achis means that we view the imaginary walls if it continues downward, not only as if it continues upward. So what exactly is this machlokas between the Rabban and Rabbi Yossi, whether a mechitza tuliya is valid for a sukkah? So Mar Savar mechitza tuliya materes, Mar Savar mechitza tuliya any materes. It must be that this is a din, and this is a machlokes about dine mechitza in general. Dine mechitza don't only apply to sukkah. We know that dine mechitza apply to Shabbos as well. That's why we had also the Andav Zayin, whether migo davidofen linin sukkah, avidofen linin Shabbos, and migo davidofen linin Shabbos, avidofen linin sukkah. Because if one is a valid wall for one of these halachos, maybe it's got to automatically be a valid wall for the other one of these halachos, because there are dinim of mechitza, both in terms of carrying on Shabbos, as well as in terms of sukkah. So maybe they're arguing generally about the dinim of mechitza, whether mechitza tuliya works or not. So Tanan Hasan, the Gemara brings another machlokas about a mechitza tuliya in the context of Shabbos. Bor shebein shtei chatzeros. So let's say you have a bor, a well or a pit with water in it, that's in between two chatzeros. Ein memal mena b'Shabbos. So if there's no eruv between these two chatzeros, and you're not allowed to carry from one to the other, neither side is allowed to take water out of the bar, because they're taking water from the other side's chatzer, from whatever's on the other fellow's side. Elam kenos la mechitza sar tfachim. Unless you make a mechitza of ten tfachim in the bar, and by doing that, it's considered to have separated the water from one side to the other. And when you pull water out of the bar, even though obviously all the molecules mix together and everything, but if we view it, since there's a mechitza, a halachic mechitza between them, we view it as if you're only pulling the water out of your side of the bar. Where do you build that mechitza? Bein milamala, bein milamata. Whether it's on the top of the bar, or whether it's in the lower part of the bar, or bein betoch ogno, or whether it's underneath the surface of the bar, but above the water level. So the way we'll understand, milamala means over the bar, milamata means like in the water, and betoch ogno would mean in the bar, but above the water level. So wherever that mechitza of ten tefachim is perfectly fine. But Rav Shmuel Gamliel says that this is actually a machlokas between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. That Beis Shammai omrim min lemaila, uBeis Hillel omrim min lemata. That Beis Shammai would say that you just have to put the mechitza min lemaila on the edge of the bar, whereas Beis Hillel would say min lemata, that it's got to be lower down in the bar near the water, and only then is it going to be a valid mechitza that's going to allow you to take water out of the bar. So Rabbi Yehuda lo te mechitza gedolim in hakol shel shebineihem. So Rabbi Yehuda comments and he says, no, a mechitza tli is good enough. So if you have a mechitza that runs between these two chatzeros, which you must have, right? We presumably have a mechitza that runs between these two chatzeros, and that mechitza runs right over the bar, that's also a mechitza tli, and that's also going to be matir, you to take water out of the bar. You don't need any additional partition inside the surface of the bar, down by the water, above the water level, on the top of the, where the mechitza runs over the bar, is perfectly good. So Amar Rabba Bar Bachanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, B'shita Sabi Yossi, Amar Adam Mechitza Tli, Amataras. Oh, now we can connect it back to our Mishnah. We discussed in our Mishnah, does a mechitza tli work for sukkah? And Rabbi Yossi said yes, that even though the mechitza is more than 3 tefachim off the ground, but it's a 10 tefach mechitza, it doesn't quite reach the ground. Rabbi Yossi was perfectly happy with that. So it must be that Rabbi Yehuda, in the context of Hilchos Shabbos, is assuming the same, like Rabbi Yossi, that a mechitza tliya is able to be matir. So says the Gemara, not necessarily. Velohi. Lo Rabbi Yehuda Savlak Rabbi Yossi, Velo Rabbi Yossi Savlak Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, who allows a mechitza tliya in Hilchos Shabbos, may not allow it when it comes to a sukkah. And Rabbi Yossi, who allows it when it comes to a sukkah, may not allow it in the case of the bar, Shabbein Shtei Chatzeros, when it comes in Hilchos Shabbos. How so? Why not? Lo Rabbi Yehuda Savla Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda, who allows it in Hilchos Shabbos, may not allow it in Hilchos Sukkah, because Ad Kan Lo Kam Rabbi Dasam El Beiruvi Chatzeros Rabbanan. Where in Hilchos Shabbos is Rabbi Yehuda relying on the Mechitza Tliya? Not in terms of taking a Rishos HaRabim Daraisa and turning it into a Rishos HaYachid. No, that would be Din Dorei. All he's relying on is if any way it's two chatzeros, so both of them are Rishos HaYachid anyway. On a Daraisa level, you're allowed to carry from one chatzer to the other. Okay, so Mamelch is Mesake, Neruve Chatzeros, and now you have a din. Now a din mit Rabbanan that you're not allowed to carry from one chatzer to another. For that din to Rabbanan, Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what? You can rely on a Mechitza Tliya. Abul Hacha, Sukkah da Raisa, lo. But when it comes to Sukkah, which is a din da Raisa, then you need Mechitzas of Sukkah. Yeah, we learned from Psukim, Sukkah, 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 right? Yeshem Lemikra, Yeshem Lemesaurus, right? We learned in the back end of and Vav, right? What exactly? How many walls make up a sukkah? So good. So that's a din d'oraisa. So that you're not going to rely on a mechitza tliya. V'lo Rabbi Yossi savlak Rabbi Yehuda, and it could be that Rabbi Yossi, who does rely on a mechitza tliya in Hilchos Sukkah, would not be satisfied to rely on it when it comes to eruv chatzeros. Because that can look from Rabbi Yossi hacha ela b'sukkah de mitzvah sasei. Because when's Rabbi Yossi willing to rely on a mechitza tliya? By sukkah, which granted it's d'oraisa, but it's a mitzvah sasei d'oraisa. It's not even a lo sasei. So it's the least severe of all isuri d'oraisa. Aval Shabbos nisuskila, lo, but Shabbos is nisuskila. Now, granted, carrying from one chatzar to another chatzar is not an isuskila, but called the tikkun rabbanon ken daraisa tiknum, that all the dinim rabbanon of Shabbos are patterned after the dinim daraisa of Shabbos. And we would certainly take the dinim daraisa of Shabbos much more seriously, to the point that we would say that by dinim daraisa of Shabbos, it's an Isra Skila, so therefore we have to be just as machmir when it comes to the dinim rabbanon of Shabbos. Good, so now says Marvim Tomer. Now, based on what we said, that Rabbi Yossi would allow Mechitza Tliya only by Sukkah, but not by Shabbos, even for Yisum Drabbanon of Shabbos. If that's the case, Maisa Shanasa Bitzipuri Alpiminasa. There was a case where we relied on a Mechitza Tliya for Shabbos purposes in Tzipori, and that matters that it's in Tzipori, because the Rashi points out, Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis tells us that Rabbi Yossi was the Mar Da'asra in Tzipori. So you would imagine that whatever they did was following the Psak of Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara, why is it in Sanhedrin? The Gemara tells us, Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof Halach Achar Beis Din Yafeh, that you should always try to pick the best Beis Din. You should go to a qualified Beis Din. So the Gemara says, what's an example of qualified Beis Din? Achar Rabbi Yossi with Tzipori. Then in Tzipori, Rabbi Yossi's Beis Din, that's a qualified Beis Din, a Beis Din of high integrity and great knowledge, so that would be Rabbi Yossi's Beis Din. So if there was a story where they relied on Mechitza Tliya and Tzipori, but for Hilchos Shabbos purposes, but you're trying to argue that Rabbi Yossi does not rely on Mechitza Tliya for Hilchos Shabbos purposes, only for Hilchos Sukkah purposes, so who do they follow? So says Umar Allah Alpi Rabbi Yossi, El Alpi Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi. Maybe it was after Rabbi Yossi's time, and they were following the Shita of his son, and Mimali Makom, the Rav of Tzipori, Rabbi Shmuel of Rabbi Yossi. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel of Rabbi Yossi didn't agree with his father, and he allowed him a Mechitza Tliya even for Shabbos purposes. What's the story? My Maisa, what was the case exactly where we relied on a Mechitza Taliya in Tzipori for the Shabbos purposes? So says Gemara, here's the story. The Chiyasa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar Pamach HaShachu V'lo Yiviyu Sefer Torah Me'er of Shabbos. One time they forgot to bring the Sefer Torah from the home where it was kept to the shul on Erev Shabbos. Apparently they used to keep a Sefer Torah in one of the homes because they were nervous to leave it unattended in shul because the Nachrum would come and they would steal the Sefer Torah. They had not yet thought of the idea of fireproof safes and things like that could protect the Sefer Torah that way. 10 tons that you can't move. So they hadn't yet thought of that idea. So they would keep it at somebody's home, and they would bring it to the Beis HaKnesses on Erev Shabbos in order to be able to read from it on Shabbos. And the Beis HaKnesses, I guess they had people learning in the shul all night. I don't know who was guarding it on Shabbos, but I go, or whatever. I guess they took a chance for one night. So the Beis HaKnesses was open to a mavoi, which had many chatzeros open up into it. So the Sefer Torah was put in the chatzer that was directly across from the Beis HaKnesses. And so long as there was no sheet of mavuos that connected the different chatzeros to each other, you're not allowed to carry the Sefer Torah through that mavoi. So what do they do? So lemachar, when they realized on Shabbos morning that they don't have a Sefer Torah, pierce sedinin al gabei amudin. They put a cloth over posts that ran across the width of the mavoi, but through hanging those cloths, they made mechitzos between the other chatzeros that opened into the mavoi and the chatzer where the Sefer Torah was placed. And those walls that were made out of cloth made a path between the chatzer where the Sefer Torah was and the Beis HaKnesses. So you were allowed to carry now because there are mechitzos that sort of blocked out all the other chatzeros, so you only have this one chatzer and the Beis HaKnesses, and you can go through that path, through those walls, to the Beis HaKnesses. V'viyu Sefer Torah, v'karuba. And they brought the Sefer Torah and they read from it, because the din of a mavui that only has one chatzer, you're allowed to be metaltel in such a mavui without a sheet of mavuos, because there's nothing to be mishtatev with. There's only one chatzer. But what about the Beis HaKnesses? Isn't the Beis HaKnesses another rishos? So no, Beis HaKnesses is not going to ask a betiltel because it's ein bo diurin. There's no residence in a Beis HaKnesses. Only that which is considered a Beis Dira is going to be considered something that would aser and would require shitufei mavuos. We had sort of a similar halacha back on Daf Gimel where we discussed the bayis she'ein bo dalit al dalit, that if you have a house that's less than 4x4 amos, it also is not going to aser in a chatzer to require an eruv chatzeros or in a mavoi to require shitufei mavuos. The only exception we said back then is that you're allowed to keep the shitufei mavuos in a bayis she'ein bo dalit al dalit, because you could, meaning the box of matzahs, you could keep in a bayis she'ein bo dalit al dalit, because you could keep it in an open chatzar also, as long as it's protected. So there's no din that it has to be in a bayis. But as far as what asers on each other, that certainly requires a bayis, and the Beis HaKnesses is not a bayis for those purposes. So says Mar, Pirsu Salkadaitach, Meichen Neviim B'Shabbos. Wait a second, how are they able to hang these cloths on Shabbos? You're not allowed to carry things from one rishus to another on Shabbos. How do they bring the cloths out to the mavoi to start hanging them over things? That's the way Rashi understands the Gemara's Kasha. Tosa understands the Gemara's Kasha is Pirsa. Tosa has a different girsa. The girsa of the Gemara in Erevin Pevav and Beis is Pirsa Salkadaitik Vayitmar Kol Modim Sheinos No Olarai Betchila. That it's not about carrying them out. It's about building a makeshift Oel. They're building a wall, and you're not allowed to build a wall on Shabbos. That's considered making an Oel Arai on Shabbos, which is an Isra Midrabanan. No, they didn't actually do that on Shabbos. They relied on that which already existed, meaning they already had these sadinim that were prusim, these cloths that were hanging, and they utilized them to carry the Sefer Torah from the house where it was to the Beis HaKnesses. So that's all it means. But bottom line is, you do see that they relied on Mechitza Tliya, even in a Hilchos Shabbos situation, and that's okay because they were not following Shittas Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi relies on Mechitzas Tliya maybe only for Sukkah and not for Hilchos Shabbos, but Rabbi Shmuel bir Rabbi Yossi relies on it for Hilchos Shabbos purposes as well. So Amar Rav Chisda Amar Rav Yimi, Machzelas Arba O Mashu. If you have a mat that's four tefachim wide and a mashahu, Mataris Pesuk Mishum Dofen, you can use that as a wall for a Sukkah, as if it's 10 tefachim high. Even though it's only four tefachim and a mashahu, why? Why? Because Hechi Yavin, what do you do? If you have exactly a 10 tefach high sukkah, you can position a mat that's 4 tefachim and a mashu to be within 3 tefachim of the ground and within 3 tefachim of the top. So you have lavan on both ends, and therefore you have a perfectly kosher wall. So says Mar Pshita, of course, yeah, that works. You're telling me there's a din of lavan? We've had the din of lavan 1,000 times already. So says Mar, no, ma'od de teim echad lavan aminan trei lavan lo aminan. I would have thought you could say lavan in one direction, but to say lavan on the top and on the bottom, I would think you can't do that. So kamash malan, that's why Chassid says that even when you need to utilize two lavans, you're allowed to do that as well. So asking Mar Meisvei, machsel shiva umashu materes pesukim mishum dofen, that if you have a mat that's 7 tefachim and change, you can use it as a wall of a sukkah. And we're assuming that we're talking about a sukkah that's 10 tefachim tall, and you put the mat within 3 tefachim of either the ground or the schach, and therefore you could utilize lava to make such a mat a kashra wall. But the point is that apparently it's saying that it's got to be 7 tefachim and mashu, that apparently 4 tefachim and mashu is not enough, that even if it's a 10 tefach high sukkah, you cannot use lava in both directions. You need it to be within lavud of only either one or the other, either the top of the sukkah or the bottom of the sukkah. Says, well, no, that doesn't prove anything. When we said it's got to be 7 tefachim and change, that's talking about a very tall sukkah. Who makes a sukkah that's 10 tefachim tall? Yeah, 10 tefachim is kosher, but no one actually builds a sukkah that way. So if you have a really tall sukkah, then the mat needs to be 7 tefachim and a mashu, and you mamet it within 3 tefachim of the ground, you utilize lavud, and then you have a kosher mechitza. But in a chinami, if you had a sukkah that was exactly 10 tefachim tall, then dalit tefachim umashu would be good enough. So we don't have a sukkah gedola. Umay kamash malon. And what's the price of being mechadesh with this din? We already learned in the Mishnah that a sukkah is kosher if it's 10 tefachim tall, and we already know that there's a din of lavud. So the price is talking about where you put the machzelus within 3 tefachim of the schach. So it's a sukkah gedola. The chiddush is the mishashon defanus milmal lemata kraviosi, that the 7 tefachim and change wall does not have to be within 3 tefachim of the floor. It could be within 3 tefachim of the schach, and that will make the 10 tefach wall starting from the schach, even though it doesn't go anywhere near the ground. That's like Shitas Rabbi Yossi, that a mechitza tuliya works for a sukkah, even if maybe it doesn't work for Shabbos, but it works for sukkah, which is only a mitzvah saseh, and not like Shabbos, which is associated with skila. Amar Rabbi Ami, pas arba'o mashu, let's say we're not talking about the height anymore, we're talking about the length of the wall. So let's say it's 4 tefach mashu, matu b'sukkah mishum dofen. It can serve as a wall for a sukkah, because all you need to do is position that board that's 4 tefachim and change within 3 tefachim of one of the other of one of the corners or one of the other side walls, because then it's going to be loved and it's going to be like you have a 7 tefach wall. So my kamash malon, of course that's going to be valid. What would possibly be invalid about that? So kamash malon shir meshach sukkah katana shiva. It's telling us that we paskin that a sukkah katana is only 7 tefachim. Now, you don't need a sukkah to be larger than 7 tefachim, because that was a three-way machlokas tanayim back on Daf Gimel, whether 6x6 tefachim, 7x7 tefachim, or dalet al dalet amos. Because we're not going to go any further, obviously we're not going to read the Mishnah, just to mention one thing. We spoke about the Sefer Torah. They needed the Sefer Torah on Shabbos, so he used to bring it from a house to a shul. So the Mordechai writes, based on the Yerushalmi Maseches Yuma, that if you have people who are chavish beis asurim, if you have people that are stuck in jail, you should not bring them the Sefer Torah, that they should be able to be yotzei kriyas haTorah with it. Mishum kvodo shel Sefer Torah, that it's disrespectful for the Sefer Torah to be schlepped around just to help people be yotzei the mitzvah of kriyas Sefer Torah. And that's what the Mechaber paskins in Aruch Chaim Sim Kuf Lamed Hey Sif Yudal. So the Rama writes that if you prepare it a day or two in advance, then you're allowed to take the Sefer Torah to another place. And he says, "L'tzaruch adam chashuv, it's mutter b'chal inyan," which opens up, like it makes the whole halacha almost irrelevant, because then the poskim say, well, for an adam chashuv, it's good enough. A tzibur is chashuv. A tzibur is at least as good as an adam chashuv. So if you're doing it for a whole tzibur of people, then for sure it should be okay. Well, when is it a case where you're not doing it for a tzibur of people? Case would have to be that there's one person in jail, he's not an adam chashuv, but nine other people are willing to go to the jail with the Sefer Torah to make a minyan for him so he can read Kriyas HaTorah. That's normally not the situation, right? This Shaila comes up when they bring a Sefer Torah to a Beis Avel or somewhere like that, or a family's going on vacation and they want to bring it on a ski trip or something, their Sefer Torah. So is that a violation of a lack of cover for the Sefer Torah? So Mechaber pretty clearly would say, yes, that is a violation, whereas the Ramah says that it's not a problem. The Chidah, in his tshuvas, one of his many tshuvas for him, Tov Ayin, says that he could never be makel with these kulos of the Ramah. You should not take a Sefer Torah from one place to another, even for the sake of an Adam Chashuv, even for Yom or Yomayim in advance. So the Taz says he doesn't know this idea of Yom or Yomayim, where the Ramah got it from. But the Mishnah Brura in Sifkat Memtes says that it really depends on whether you have a makam kavua for the Sefer Torah in the place that you're bringing it. And that's where you've probably heard that people say, oh, if there's an Aron Kodesh there, then you can bring it. So that's why many shuls, when they bring a Sefer Torah to Beis Avel, they have like a mini Aron Kodesh. Why do they need an Aron Kodesh? They just put it on a table wrapped in a talus or something? No, if it's an Aron Kodesh, maybe, since it has a makam kavua, so maybe that would allow carrying it even l'shita samachaber from one place to the other. Okay, we'll stop there, and Be'ez Hashem tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the top of Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Have a great day, everybody. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Shabbos and a happy Tu B'Av.